We are in our Father's house as sons and daughters. The boyhood Jesus in the temple. I think I've preached on this a couple of times. I've only been here a couple of years. But somehow it's come up, I think, in the Luke here for sure. But I think it was in some other text, or some other part of the lectionary too. So I feel like I've preached on this twice. Matthew's gospel had a childhood Jesus story last week. And so to complement that, we're still in Christmas, which is rare to have two Sundays in Christmas. We have a young Jesus story found in Luke's gospel. So I have elected, and I should have mentioned it when I was up front, to emphasize the Ephesians passage. I'm going to, some of you are like, oh, I'm going to be in such a... No, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Ephesians passage than the gospel. Anyway, how do we know we're saved? How do we know that we're saved? How are we assured that we are saved? This is a question that has been brought to me several times in the last couple of months. There's been a couple of people in my life that have passed away, and you know, friends and people ask me, "No, do you think he's saved? Do you think he's going to heaven?" And all that kind of conversation seems to come up, and it always follows this sort of description of, "Am I good enough to get into heaven?" Not those kind of conversations, you know. But that's not really how it works. Thank God that's how it works. And this Ephesians passage, I think, is very helpful to see that it's really not us who does the work of salvation. It's Christ Jesus alone. Then it adds something that I think is really helpful, that I think can be very distorted as well, which we're going to talk about also. It adds that God's salvific act wasn't an adjustment. It wasn't something that spontaneously happened. God had a plan for salvation from the beginning that didn't change. How did it read exactly in Ephesians? Before the foundation of the world, God chose us in Christ Jesus. God chose us in Christ Jesus. That means we were elected before any good or bad deed, before any word spoken or bad habit. God chose us. Be with him in eternity before the world was made. Now let's get the distortion thing out of the way. And talk to our Calvinist friends, who we love, but for whatever reason have had a shaky history when it comes to the doctrine of election. And the doctrine of election is just predestination. Some people call it predestination. Calvinists, named after John Calvin, who may or may not have been a Calvinist, that's a debatable topic. And their followers took the doctrine of election in the 16th century to a different place. They thought it would be helpful if Christians saw themselves as being chosen by God. It's good. We Lutherans are like, yeah. From the foundation of the world, still with it, right? Nothing they can do to earn it, definitely with you there. And this calling is irresistible. Oh, wait a second. That's where we get lost. The Lutherans are like, hold on a second. And so Calvinism spirals into this kind of frozen, chosen, Puritan frenzy. It turns into who has the salvation lottery ticket? Do you? And then it was, those who thought they were saved would say to others, I don't know if you have good enough works to prove that you're saved. And so then there was this idea of, you know, people looking at each other's behavior as an indicator of, were you saved, or are you part of the church really, or are you filled with the Holy Spirit, and all this kind of stuff. And there was a whole kind of Puritan sort of community that just ended up being very harsh and kind of disoriented by this doctrine. You could be a member of God's frozen chosen based on the evidence that we see in your life. Can you see the problems that that caused for the church? It was a 17th and 18th century nightmare. And we Christians, we say no to God all the time. We are a rebellious bunch of people who love to get our own way. All of us have a long record of sin. But to single out one sin or one sinner above others is problematic. We learn later in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 19 of Luke's Gospel, in the story of Zacchaeus, Jesus says, I have come to seek and save the lost. God chooses us in the person of Jesus Christ. We reflect upon God's choosing us in our baptism. That's why baptism is so important. You see, in the waters of baptism, where God chooses us unconditionally, the church, the body of Christ, is the baptizing agent called by Christ in Matthew 28 to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we teach about what that really means, which I hope I'm doing right now. We are called to be baptized, but with that, we are also called to repentance. This is what the experience of the Lord's Supper is all about. We openly participate in public confession of sin, as we just did. And we close the service in receiving the means of God's grace in the Holy Supper. Baptism and repentance, baptism and the Lord's Supper. That is the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. What did it say in the passage? Let's remind ourselves the second half of verse 5. Adopted through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. The grace of God is literally staring us in the face, in the face of Jesus Christ. Our relationship with God is made known to us through our relationship with Jesus Christ. We say this all the time, but Christians rarely understand it. You see, Jesus is the Son of God, but we don't know how that impacts our faith. Jesus says, if you had seen me, you would have seen the Father. That's the Son of God concept, right? Our relationship with God doesn't ultimately ride on how good or bad that we are at any time. This is what really bugs me. When we obsess over who is in heaven and who is not. I have a familiarity with this kind of talk, plenty as a pastor over my years. And there's always this kind of conversation of, will John get into heaven? And it's usually at John's funeral, right? What do you think? Does John have the goods to get into heaven? He was into some nefarious stuff here and there. I'm not so sure. We'll have to see. And this is coming from 500-pound Fred and Angry Bob. Our relationship with God is defined by our relationship with Jesus Christ. We think our eternal relationship with God sometimes is this required job application. That if we have enough on our resume, then God will be forced to accept us. And that's not the way it works. We see entering the kingdom of heaven is like applying for college or something. Do we have good enough grades to get in? When we forget about the Son that we have right in our midst, the God with us, not against us. That's what I think Jesus was talking about in the temple at 12 years old. That's what I think he was arguing over with those rabbis. This very thing. That they were so amazed came out of this 12-year-old's mouth. I'll tell you why I think that. Jesus was explaining our relationship with God through our relationship with the Son, not through works of the law. I think that's why they were so amazed by what he taught them that day. I think that's why it's in Luke's gospel. And I'm going to take a hunch at what I think happened and how it unfolded. I think Luke did a lot of research because he wasn't a person who walked with Jesus, so and he even says in the beginning of Luke's gospel, he collected a lot of research. And I think he sat down with Mary and said, you know, the one thing that Jesus taught was that he was the Son of God. We've never heard this before out of any prophet. What was the earliest time that you know where that came up? And I think she said, oh, there was this time. We went down to Jerusalem before his bar mitzvah, even. And we left him there. We were on our way back. We thought he was with his cousins and you know, lo and behold, he wasn't there. So we rushed back to Jerusalem, and we were just like, I can't believe you got lost. Oh, I'm so, you know, and he said this unusual statement. Wouldn't you think that I would be in my Father's house? Describing himself as the Son. I think what he shared in that day with those rabbis was exactly the gospel. That our relationship with God comes through our relationship with Jesus Christ. I must be in my Father's house. That's it. Jesus explains, you are saved by grace alone. Not through words. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all.